that the servant of humanity is teaching concerning the future. And so this is known in Christian teaching as the Olivet Discourse, because it was given on the Mount of Olives. And it is in the Passion Week. So we think this is probably Wednesday night or Thursday night, as they're on their way out of the city of Jerusalem back towards Bethany or the Mount of Olives. And so in this passage, what we want you to walk away from here learning tonight, as you can see, is to be on guard, okay? And the Lord mentions that many times in this chapter. Be alert, watch out, be on guard. And so we have pictures up here of the Temple Mount, because the Lord was asked the question, Lord, don't you see these magnificent buildings? And so he said, well, yes, they are magnificent, but I want you to know that not one stone is going to be left upon the other. It's all going to be wiped out. And so then they started asking questions. Well, when will this be? What will be the sign of your coming? How will we know the end? And so Jesus begins to teach them about the future. And so we're halfway through the message. So we're starting in verse 14 tonight, chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, verse 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolations spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should have been saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, and hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I foretold you all things. So once again, there's our proposition. Be on guard. Watch out. Jesus has told us in advance all of these things. So now, the servant taught about a time of great tribulation that's going to be specifically upon Israel during this time. He starts out by giving them a clue. When you see the abomination of desolations mentioned by Daniel the prophet, then you know to run. Don't take time to go back in your house. You need to run right away. And so this is a reference to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel's an Old Testament book. And I'm just going to read that verse to you. This is Daniel 9, 27. And he, this is the false Christ, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, well, there's a lot of information in that verse. But essentially, Daniel made this prophecy that the Antichrist, the false Christ, is going to make a covenant with Israel. Then he's going to be a covenant breaker. And how will you know when he's broken his covenant? Well, he's going to stop the temple sacrifices, and he's going to commit an abomination in it. And he sets up an image in the temple. And, of course, this is one of the basic Ten Commandments that even non-Jews know. You shall have no other idols. You shall not worship any gods. Okay, Don't make any graven image. Don't bow down and serve them. And so when they see an idol in the middle of their temple, the light bulb comes on. Bing! This is what Daniel warned about. Run! Okay? And so that's how we know that the tribulation is going to begin, a time of trouble. And so this is what they would see here. Let me see if I can get my outline going here. All right, there we go. So the great profanation, okay, verses 14 through 18, talking about what Daniel prophesied, and that it would be definitely sacrilegious and defiling of the temple. And so the prophet describes this in verse 14, and then it is really here the Lord is saying, it hasn't happened yet. Are you with me? Okay. And so it hadn't happened in history from Daniel to Christ. And by the way, this is just a little excursus. There are many liberal Bible scholars out there that say that Daniel is not really a book of the Bible because there's too much detail. It couldn't actually come out this way. No one knows that much detail. Well, they do if they're given it by the inspiration of God. And so Jesus treated Daniel as a real prophet and quoted from his books. And so we know that Daniel the prophet was a real prophet because Jesus is quoting from it. And so this is what they'll see. And then where they should be, not there. Okay, they should be somewhere else. And they're only going to have one hope. Run for your lives. Flee for the hills. Okay. When the Antichrist seizes the temple, get out of there, all right? And so then the flight or the escape will be particularly urgent for those living in Israel, especially and for Jerusalem. If you're out in the field working, don't turn around to pick up your jacket, okay? And don't go downstairs into your house and retrieve anything. Just start running, okay? And so the place for this is you'll notice here in verse 14, okay. So this is what they should do, okay. So let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So that's Jerusalem and the area around Jerusalem. Run, okay. And so in you'll probably know who I'm talking about when I mention this. But while singing in their Salzburg, Austria home, they were overheard by a German concert singer, Lotte Lehmann, who persuaded them to take part in a song competition in 1936 at the Salzburg Festival, for which they won a prize. And then after that, they were accompanied by a Dr. Wassner, and the family toured and performed in Vienna and Salzburg, and undertook a European tour that encompassed France, Belgium, Holland, Italy, Germany, and England. Then in that very same year, they came all the way across the ocean to the United States. And for the first time, they performed here. And it was while they were in the United States that Hitler overran Austria. And their visas expired, so they had to return to Austria right away. And so when Hitler annexed us, then the family decided it was time to leave Austria. And they left for Italy, of which the head of the household was a citizen of Italy. And so after they escaped Austria, they lived in the Netherlands for a few years as guest of a Dutch banker. And from there, they came to the United States with an immigrant status in 1939. And they arrived with very little money, so they had to tour in the United States as a family singing that would earn them money. And you know them as the Von Trapp family singers. But when Hitler took power, they didn't waste time getting out. And so this is just one example. When the Antichrist takes power, get out, run, flee. Okay? And then Jesus makes a plea with them in verses 15 and 16. Don't go home for anything, and don't get hindered by anything. You know, it's very interesting. The towns of Vesuvius and Pompeii, where Mount Vesuvius exploded there around Pompeii, You have seen probably the remains of people that were buried in ash. Have you seen those ghostly figures? Okay, those were real people that were caught in a sudden tragedy. But there had been tremors, there had been earthquakes, there had been rumblings, and so they should have left, but they didn't, and disaster overtook them. It was very interesting. It was reported here just last month in an organization called PLOS One that there was one young man in his mid-20s that the structure of brain cells were seen in black glassy material found in the young man's skull. The glassy material was identified as vitrified brain remains. Okay, so they were able to see part of his brain stem going to the spinal cord and in some of the brain circuitry. I mean, that was how instantly he was cooked. Okay, and it was just amazing scientific discovery. But Jesus says, don't take the time to go home, because if you do, you're going to get captured. You're going to get caught. And so they're going to kill you. So get away as soon as you can. And so he talks about woe in verses 17 and 18. The woe means sorrow. It means trouble. And the possibilities here, possible thing that can add to this, is people who might be encumbered, okay, with extra responsibilities. So to have a little child that's nursing, and then that it's not in winter. So if you know anything about the soil in the wilderness, is when it gets wet, it becomes very loamy. And you can, you know, have you ever worked in that and had it coagulate on your feet and your feet get heavy? It's just hard to walk through that. And so the Lord is saying, make this a prayer, okay? So inclement weather, added responsibilities, these will be definite things that will break your heart during this time. And so pray that it doesn't happen during winter. All right, then a great persecution, verse 19, breaks out. For in those days shall affliction such was not from the beginning of the creation which God created under this time, neither shall be. The Holocaust was horrible, folks, and it was real. All right. But unfortunately, it's not the worst that's going to happen to Israel. So this is time of great tribulation, and this is actually where we get the name, the tribulation, from this verse here. Okay, this is a reference from Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 12, 1. So Michael the archangel is going to, he's the prince, the angelic prince that guards the nation of Israel. And so he's going to defend them and save them. Okay? So the statements here in verses 19 and 20, so let's look at this. Okay, so we read 19, now verse 20. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. Okay, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened these days. So these two verses deal with a time period that is far greater distress than Jerusalem experienced in 70 A.D., So here's how you look at the Olivet Discourse through Christian eyes. You either look at this, what Jesus is teaching was fulfilled in 70 A.D. Or you say, yes, it was came true in 70 A.D., but there is also a future aspect to the prophecy. So you take, yes, this happened in 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed, but there's elements to this that go beyond what happened in 70 A.D., and so they remain for yet a future day. So there is no reason to think that the worst distress that there has ever been or ever would be happened in 70 A.D. So verses 19 and 20 refer to a climatic distress at the end of the age, which leads to the end of the world. And so this is what we know as the Great Tribulation, the one at the age, at the end of human governments. Okay. All right. So Let's go down to verses 20 through 23, and we'll look here at the great proclamation, all right? So we looked at the great profanation, the great persecution, and the great proclamation. All right. So verses 20 through 23, so let's look at these. First of all, the good news is they'll be shortened, because God's going to get involved and shorten those days, okay? And so take heart. There is an elect company for Israel during this time period. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8 says that there are 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes that will be believers in Jesus. And they will be his witnesses, and they'll preach the gospel in Israel and throughout the world. And many Gentiles will come to believe on Jesus during this time of great tribulation. And so there is an opportunity to become one of God's elect children during that time. That's a wonderful thing. So take heart. Some have said once Jesus returns, there's no hope for anyone else. They could never be saved. That's not what the Bible actually teaches. Okay, so these 144,000, they're going to be witnesses for Jesus, and they, along with the Gentile remnants, are the ones for whom this period is cut short. It will be shortened. All right. So, what is this great tribulation time period? Well, we know it starts when that image is set up in the temple, and it will last until the Battle of Armageddon. So, it's about 3.5 years. This is going to be disaster after disaster after disaster that comes on that, okay? And so this is mentioned many times in the Bible as 42 months, 1,260 days, a time and a times and a half a time. That's 3.5 years, okay? 1,260 days, 3.5 years. 42 months, 3.5 years. So believers fleeing from the Antichrist and hiding in the hills and the dens of the earth will actually be able to count from day to day how much longer the torment will last and how much longer they have to hide. And when they are maybe discovered where they're hiding, oh, the Messiah is actually here. They should know, all right, the days hasn't expired for the true Messiah to show up. So don't go out because you're going to be led to a false Messiah. So this is his take heed in verses 21 through 23. And if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there he is, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show many signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies. So the warning is really in verses 21 and 22, delaying one's escape. But the warnings here are beyond that, and that is being deceived about your safety. Okay, don't leave your place of safety. So there's going to be lying propaganda in verse 21. Okay, many false Christs will say, "Hey, I'm the Messiah." Don't believe that lying propaganda, and don't believe the supposed proofs of what appears to be miracles. Okay, we know in Revelation chapter 13 that the false prophet appears to give life to the Antichrist's image that was set up in the temple. And so this warning has an application to us as well. The warning of the Lord about false prophets and their lying miracles is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 13. There are a lot of false prophets out there today. Let's not listen to them. But he does end on a positive note, okay? He says, but you can believe me, all right? So, he says there in verse 23, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So you can believe Jesus. You can trust the Lord. And so the destruction of Jerusalem was no indicator that the end of the world was near. The final tribulation that exceeds anything previously known is a true indicator. And so this is described in the book of Revelation. All right, let's move on to our next point here. Should be point
4. Okay, so the servant taught about the termination of Gentile powers. Now, if you want to turn over, I'm going to be reading to you a parallel account of this sermon that Jesus is giving to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. This comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 23 through 25. It's important because you need to know what's going on. Have you paid attention to current events? All right. Specifically in relation to Israel. Have you seen the peace that our president was able to negotiate with the Arab nations in Israel? That is a very significant thing. And the fact that we moved our embassy to Jerusalem, that's a very significant thing that is taking place. Why is that so significant? Well, in Luke chapter 21, verses 23 to 25, it says, But woe unto them that are with child, and to those that give suck in those days, for there shall be a great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Now notice this next phrase at the end of verse 24, And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Okay? So, what in the world do we as Americans have such political influence with the Jewish people in Israel? Well, because we live in this time period called the time of the Gentiles, where the Gentile nations really control Israel. Israel really doesn't control its own destiny. It depends upon the United States. It depends upon the Western European powers to protect it, to provide it military arms and equipment and financial help and economic help and so forth. And so this is a time where Israel is really run by Gentile powers. We're controlling that. And so Israel was overrun and destroyed by Rome. From 70 AD to about 130, there was a period there, about 70 years of war. And when Rome finally obliterated Israel, they changed the name to Palestine. And that's a Gentile name for Israel. That's not the Jewish name for their country. So Palestine is a Gentile designation for Israel. But there is a time the Gentile influence and control and power over Jerusalem, it's going to stop. And the Messiah will come and he'll set up his kingdom. And so verse 25, And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity. COVID-19 isn't anything. If anything, it is the grace of God in getting human government calamity and having systems in place to deal with calamity. But greater distress and perplexity is coming. The sea and the waves roaring. That's just symbolically saying that's a bad time. Okay, some horrible storms are going to be crashing upon humanity here. And so the servant taught about the termination of Gentile powers. Now verses 24 through 27 indicate that Jesus is going to return after this time of tribulation is over. But in those days, after that tribulation, okay, then, verse 27, he shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So, right after the tribulation, Jesus comes to rescue Israel. Okay? So there are signs in the sky at that time. Okay? That is a quote from Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 10. And so Jesus answers some question. They asked earlier, well, what is the sign of your coming? When will you come? So he's saying, all right, I'm going to show up as soon as the tribulation is over. And here's how you know it's me. There's going to be great signs in the heavens, and you're going to see some wonders in the sky. So you notice I put some pictures up there, okay? That he's coming back and he's sending his angels. That's what's in the top left-hand corner. The one in the right-hand corner is the signs in the heavens, okay? And then the Gentile powers in the bottom. So I chose those pictures for those reasons to kind of help you understand that concept. And so as to when, immediately when the tribulation is over. As to what, okay, the solar system, the stellar system is affected, okay? So we see that. And then we see in verse 26, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The Lord uses this verse just a few hours later when the religious leaders of Israel are crucifying him. They demand of him, "Are you the Christ?" And he says, "Hereafter you will see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory." They came unglued. Blasphemy! You're not the Messiah! Okay, and so the Lord uses this. But Jesus is coming back. The book of Revelation says that men will see that. It's as if the sky is a scroll that is parted. And Jesus is coming back with his angels and his glorious chargers to set up his kingdom. And so the sign of the Savior, the glory of that sight. This is a quotation from Daniel 7:13 with also a fading reference to Joel chapter 2. And so it's interesting here. Okay, I want to help you understand Christian theology. There are some Christian theologians that take the Old Testament and say that's all figurative, that's all allegory, that's not literal. But when the Lord is teaching future events, his understanding of the future events is based solidly on his knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, his unwavering trust in them, and his literal interpretation of the Old Testament. See, the church has not replaced Israel. Israel is going to have a kingdom in the future. And Jesus believes that, and he taught that. So the gathering of his saints, the messengers, the angels, the meeting, His people are gathered together. And so then the returning heavenly saints, the angels and the saints come with him. And so God has his people in the heaven and the earth. All right, so then let's go down here and try to bring this to a close in verses 28 through 33 really quickly. Jesus says, I want you to learn a parable. Okay, so here it is. The servant taught about timing through the fig tree.
The fig tree is a parable.
And then there's a prophetic focus that he wants to have out of that. And once again, he ends this section with, be on guard, watch out. Okay. Now the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So if you can get that down, you'll understand the passage. All right, so let's look at this. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, verse 28. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So in like manner, what kind of figure of speech would that be? Like an extended metaphor or a simile, okay? So in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Okay? Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And so let's just understand that Jesus is saying, learn the parable of the fig tree. When you see these things take place, you know that it's going to happen. This is what the fig tree is, Israel. When you see these things happening to Israel, you know that I'm coming. I'll be right there. This is going to be the end. Okay. Now this phrase, this generation shall not pass away. The verb is to go pass or to pass by. The meaning is not that the Jewish nation would not become extinct until after these things are predicted by our Lord. So there's no question Israel is an everlasting nation. Okay, so what is in view here is that the Jewish nation will not pass out of existence to heaven before these things have taken place.
This is the Jewish nation will remain on earth as a nation through the time of the fulfillment of these events. So the word generation is actually this ethnic group. Okay, will not pass away. That's what the idea is there. And so the idea is to focus on the scriptures. You don't have to depend upon signs as a Christian. Okay? There are a lot of people that get caught up in the signs. And because of the pandemic that's going around the world right now, there are a lot of Christians that are talking about signs and wonders, and we're in the very last days, and they're panicked, okay? I'm sorry, a pandemic is not what triggers the Lord's return. That's right here. And what do we have that's telling us that? The Bible. And so Jesus is saying, look, let's not get caught up in all the signs and so forth, but rather trust my word. Okay? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You want to talk about having the most ecstatic religious experience? It was Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus transfigured before his very presence. And this is what Peter says about it, that experience. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Okay? So experiences need to be subjugated to the authority of the word. And so that's the focus on the truth, okay? And so that's what's taking place here. Now, verse 32, here's a common mistake that Christians make. Date setting. Don't ever follow somebody who's setting a date. They're wrong. Okay? That'll keep you out of Seventh-day Adventism altogether. Okay? That'll keep you out of Jehovah's Witnesses altogether. They have this weird thing that's called the Inquisitive Judgment, where Jesus was supposed to come back at a certain date. Well, he didn't, but he did, kind of. And so then they invented this thing called the Inquisitive Judgment, and that's why they're the 144,000 witnesses and so forth. That was date setting. You can't set dates. You can't do that. So let's not even try, because Jesus says only God the Father knows that. Not angels, and not even himself, okay, but only the Father. And now, so focus on the task, verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So what are we supposed to do? Watch out. Take heed. Watch and pray, okay? It's very interesting. Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? In the context is the expression of faith is through prayer. When he comes to the earth, will the Son of Man find people praying? When he's told us, watch and pray. This is why prayer as a church is so crucial. We've got to do better as a church. We're not watching out. We're not praying. This is a warning by our Lord. Watch and pray. And so take heed. Okay, there are many false Christs, there are many deceivers, and if we're not praying for one another, people could be deceived. Okay, all right, now let's look here at the closing point. Can you see that? Yeah? Okay. So the servant taught about the testing of the end times. So the parable and then the point. So learning about end times teaching, there's a testing that we should get from this. Hopefully we'll pass the test. And he tells another parable, but a parable with a different focus this time. So verse 34. For the Son of Man is the man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to do what? Watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midday, or midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Okay? So the parable of the fig tree led to a watch out. But watch out that you don't be deceived, okay? And you have a very sure word of prophecy. You have the Bible that will keep you from being deceived. But now, this parable is about a man who's taking a journey. And so you see the road? That's supposed to be my taking a journey. And the Son of Man sitting there, okay, Jesus. So it's like he's taking a long journey, and then he's going to come back. Hey, did your parents ever go to the store and leave you with responsibilities as a kid? Dishes need to be done, floor needs to be vacuumed, beds need to be made, etc., etc. In my generation, my parents didn't have a cell phone to tell me that they were coming back. We just kind of had to do what they said and be ready or suffer the consequences, okay? And then when we wanted to goof off, we always seemed to put one child as the watch out, okay, at the porch. And when they saw Mom and Dad turning the corner, they would run in, Mom and Dad are coming! And then it was a scramble in the last 45 seconds to get done what needed to be done, right? Many times that didn't work and we got into trouble. But so the Lord is departing. He's gone to heaven. He has then given us a work to do as his disciples. So, commanded every man his work. Jesus has something for you to do right now. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? And so he's taken his trip. He's assigned us and given us our job description. And so we need to be on alert that we're actually doing our job. We need to be faithful while he's gone. We need to be working in the act of working when he returns. Don't be asleep, okay? Don't be that sleeping saint. There are many sleeping saints out there that are not paying attention to this. And so then we see the point of all of this, okay? Verses 35 through 37, okay? But really, verse 37 is the point. The silly thing to do would be to sleep, okay? We don't know when he's coming. That's a secret that belongs to the Lord. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to watch. Watch. Be alert. Be on guard. Take heed. The Lord has warned us all throughout this passage. And so, you know, the good news is that we as the church, as Christians, we're not going to experience this terrible suffering described in this chapter that happens to Israel. But we have our share of persecution and trouble in this world too. Okay? Before the Lord's returns, the world will hate us because we stand for Jesus. But the warning of this message here may be applied to our own lives. Take heed that you're not deceived, verses 5 and 23. Take heed that you do not become discouraged and quit, Mark 13:9. Take heed, watch and pray, Mark 13:33. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, verse 37. So, clean out your ears, make sure your eyes are wide open, make sure you're on your knees, and be praying. The Lord is coming back. What a glorious hope for us as his children. And so he is going to set up his kingdom, and so he is going to rule and reign. Let's pray.